the truth is actually words do inspire. Words do help people get involved. Words do help members.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, please. Thanks, guys. So this morning, obviously, we have a guest, okay? And Meg Green is from the NATO Association of Canada. She's going to talk to you a bit about their organization, what the, you know, some of its history, as well as what some of the activities they're involved in currently. Okay, it dovetails relatively nicely with our idea of human rights. Okay, they are obviously concerned about world peace as one of their primary objectives and keeping a peaceful relations between nations. Okay, something we haven't really talked about yet at this level, but it's certainly a nice segue for us to look at this in a global perspective. We've looked a little bit more with Canada's human rights and some of the abuses that we've had in Canada, but we've also looked at some of the issues that Canada has on a global scale. So I think it's a great segue for her. Please make her feel welcome today. Give her your undivided attention. I remind you those devices are often a distraction, so put them away, lock them in your bag, shut them off, whatever you need to do. If you have questions along the way, I'm sure she'd be willing to answer them. Okay, so I remind you that she is a guest here at Central. Make her feel welcome.
Thank you so much. I'd like to start off by thanking you, Mr. LaPlante, for the opportunity to be here. And I'd like to start off by thanking each and every one of you for being here as well. So my name is Magdalena Surma. I am the program editor of Global Horizons at the NATO Association of Canada. In terms of my background, I successfully completed an honors BA in legal studies at the University of Waterloo. Following that, I also completed an honors master's degree in public service at the University of Waterloo as well. After that, I decided to attend Harvard Law School, where I completed a program in negotiation and leadership. Following that, I applied to law school, and I'm currently completing an LLB, which is a law degree, through the University of London School of International Law. And I completed my first year. Currently, I'm in the process of completing my second year. So I'd like to start off by talking about the history of NATO. All of you have multiple handouts, but if you guys could all take out this handout that you see right here. So NATO was established in 1949. The North Atlantic Treaty Association's essential purpose is to safeguard the freedom and security of its members through political and military means. NATO promotes democratic values and it encourages consultation and cooperation on various defense and security issues. In terms of the military, NATO is committed to the peaceful resolution of disputes. If diplomatic efforts fail, it has military capacity to undertake any operations in any area of the world. These are carried under a UN mandate alone or in cooperation with other countries and international organizations. So knowing that, what I'd like to do now is I'd like everyone to introduce themselves, say who you are, tell me about what your goals are. All of you are obviously taking this class for a reason. What do you want to do in the future? And tell me anything that you know about NATO today. So I'll start off with you. So obviously, all of you guys don't know what NATO is. So you won't know what NATO stands for. So NATO stands for North Atlantic Treaty Organization. Okay? I currently work in the NATO office, the NATO Association of Canada, which is located in Toronto, at 60 Harbour Street. The program has many program editors. We have a vice president, a president of the association. And like I said before, our goal is to promote peace while educating people about military issues, security, international affairs, and relations. Some of the ongoing issues that are happening in the world, what are some of them, just to name a few?
Refugee crisis.
Yeah, that's one. Any other?
There's a situation in Syria right now.
Yeah, that's a huge one.
Ukraine,
yeah. Any additional international affairs and relations issues that you guys are aware of right now?
ISIS.
ISIS, yeah, that's a huge one. So pretty much, just to give you guys a background, what we do is we have different programs at the NATO Association of Canada. We educate people about issues such as ISIS, such as the crisis happening in Ukraine, human rights issues. We have programs such as Canada's NATO program, emerging security, expanding community, global horizons, international business and economy. Those are just a few of the many programs that we offer. If you look at the handout, which is this one, you can also access NATO's website online, and you'll be able to read through every single program, and you'll see any articles, any publications that have been released in each program. Obviously, some of you might be interested in women in security or a view from Ukraine. You can easily go on our website, you can click on the program, and you can obtain information about that specific program. And you can see what's happening in terms of international relations affairs specifically for that area. As I mentioned before, I am the program editor of Global Horizons. In terms of the program, I have an opportunity to interview diplomats, politicians, government officials, people who are experts in international relations. I started doing this job not too long ago as a student. I'm still completing my second year, so I'm studying and I'm working full-time. I have to say that moving into an area, moving from law into world studies or into international affairs has been really rewarding. I always saw myself as having a career in law, and I still want to once I complete my law degree. But having that exposure to issues that are happening in the world has really benefited me in terms of opening my eyes as to what's happening, why is it happening, what can we do in terms of helping people who are involved in a crisis. As you know, a lot of the refugees in Syria are in a situation where they need help. If you look at what's happening in Ukraine, huge human rights violation in terms of what has been promised to the people and what has been delivered, and the fight that's happening, and will take a while until it hopefully comes to an end. The Global Horizons program, to give you guys an example, you can go on the website, you can click on Global Horizons. In the search section, you can type, talk to a diplomat. You will see all of my episodes. So far, I've had about 20 interviews. One of the last ones I did was with the Consul General of India in Toronto, Mr. Akhilesh Mishra. And he touched upon a few human rights issues and the significance of the relationship between Canada and India. At the same time, you will see a podcast that was released a while ago, and that was with an interview that I did, the director and filmmaker Evgeny Evanevsky. He released a film called Ukraine's Fight for Freedom, Winter on Fire, and it was featured at the Toronto International Film Festival. So if you guys look at these handouts, you'll see every podcast that has been released so far. I think one of the most important things that you can do as a student and as a member of your community is become educated about issues that are happening. Knowing about human rights violations, knowing about matters happening all over the world can only help you. So here you'll see the episodes. This one's the one with Evgeny Evanevsky. A View from Ukraine is a program on its own with the NATO Association of Canada. I had a good background as to the issues that are ongoing in Ukraine. But going in person and seeing the film, he actually filmed the entire thing in Ukraine. He risked his life every single day to make this film, to exemplify and to show the human rights issues that are ongoing in Ukraine. Now, I don't know how much you guys know about the history and the politics as to what's currently happening in Ukraine, but I will provide you with a bit of a background. So you guys can see, before I do that, this is Evgeny Evanevsky. It's on one of the printouts that I provided you guys with. And you can also do more research on him. One of our program editors sat down and interviewed him as well. You can always contact us at any point, and we'll answer any questions you guys may have. But in terms of Evgeny Abinevsky's Winter on Fire, Ukraine's Fight for Freedom, the film was about a bloody Ukrainian uprising that took place in Kiev's Maidan Square from 2013 to 2014. This took place over several months, in the late 2013 and then in the early 2014. 3 months of battles led to the removal of the president, President Yanukovych. After promising the Ukrainian people that Ukraine would become a member of the European Union, Yanukovych abruptly decided to move and to change direction in November of 2013. So as opposed to having a democracy and providing the Ukrainian people with a membership to be a member of the European Union, Yanukovych decided to proceed by wanting to have a government that would be more of a dictatorship, similar to the governments that are operating in Asia and also on the eastern side. President Yanukovych turned on his people, and he ended up having an alignment with Russia. Protesters ended up taking the streets, and they argued that Ukraine is a part of Europe. A lot of youth were engaged in voicing their opinion. They wanted to engage in peaceful demonstrations to make it clear that once a promise is made, they expect it to be executed. They expect it to be delivered. They weren't asking for anything that was unreasonable. What then ended up happening as a result of wanting to engage in peaceful protests is the Berkut Special Police Force decided to attack the kids, the women, the youth, and anyone who pretty much voiced their opinion. Their human rights were completely violated. They were not only abruptly attacked, but they were threatened. They were warned that if they engage in any further protests, that there will be consequences. The main message of this film was that human rights violations are ongoing. We live in a democracy. We have rights. And we're very lucky to live in Canada, in a country where we can voice our opinions freely, without the fear of being attacked or without the fear of suffering consequences as a result of engaging in conversation. Do any of you know the significance of the European Union? Why would Ukraine want to be a member of the European Union?
The Union tends to look after its members.
Looks after its members, yes, that's true.
Maybe you could be a mayor, or a senator, or a Supreme Court justice.
You ready?
But you might not know that until you join student government or the debate team. And no matter what you want to do with your life, I guarantee that you'll need an education degree.
Let's go.
What you make of your education will decide nothing less than the future of this country.